beloved brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra. That person who will recite Durood Sharif once upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in return send down 10 blessings upon him. Let us all recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Beloved brothers and elders, we're living in a time where we are bombarded with fitan, trial and tribulation, test upon test. Alayhi wa sallam said, la ya'ti aamun illa walladhi ba'dahu sharrun minhu hatta talqaw rabbakum. Aw kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, year after year, the challenges will only get worse. Year after year, the fitna will only get more intense. Year after year, there'll be more trial, more tribulation, more test. Hatta talqaw rabbakum, not the direct translation, a brief explanation, until Malakul Maut comes and take you away. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, badiru bil a'mali fitanan كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, when describing the nature of the fitna, when describing the nature of trial and tribulation, when describing the nature of temptation, because this word fitanan is all-encompassing, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, كَقِطَعِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ, like the portion of a dark night. Muhaddithun and commentators have explained extensively why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likened the challenge of the day and the challenge of the time to a portion of the night. But for purposes of simple discussion, we don't want to go into too much of detail. The fitna, the trial, the challenge will be very, very intense. And in our discussion this afternoon, we're going to speak about one such fitna, which has gripped every home, whether young or whether old, whether male, whether female, whether married, whether single, and unfortunately, whether namazi or bare namazi. Everybody, unfortunately, sadly, has fallen prey and become a victim of this fitna, and that is pornography. There is very a few home which today can say comfortably that this home is pornography free. On the onset, the purpose of discussing such a delicate topic, acknowledging the seniority of most of my esteemed listeners, as well as some of those who are junior, is not to instill a thought within the mind. The reason for discussing such a delicate and a sensitive topic is two. Those who are involved come clean, and those who are clean, stay clean. In this game, in the fitna of the day, there is no experimenting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another narration, Satakun al-fitan. Such fitna is going to come in the ummah. Such test is going to come in the ummah. Such filth is going to come in the ummah. Al-qa'id fiha khayrun min al-qa'im, wal-qa'im fiha khayrun min al-mashi, wal-mashi fiha khayrun min al-sa'i. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one sitting at that time is better off than the one standing. Wal-qa'im fiha khayrun min al-mashi, And the one standing is better than the one walking towards it. وَالْمَاشِ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ السَّاعِ And the one walking towards it is better than the one running towards it. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَن يُشْرَفْ لَهَا يَسْتَشْرِفْهُ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that person who even glances in its direction, it will suck him in. So the nature of fitna is, we don't even look in that direction. However, it's important for us to educate ourselves about the fitna so we save and protect ourselves and our families. Abu Firas al-Hamdani, rahimahumullah, what did he say, Abu Firas al-Hamdani? He said, "Alimtu shar la li shar." He said, I learned about the evil of my time, not to practice on it, not to carry it out, not to indulge, not to fall prey to it. Rather, I conscientized myself, I made myself aware of it to protect myself. And then he goes on to say, لِأَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ الشَّرْ That person who doesn't understand the nature of the fitna is prone to become a victim to it. A simple example, if somebody gave me this to drink and it was poison, the only way I can protect myself is if I identify and I know that there's poison in here. If I don't know, how do I protect myself? So on the onset, it is a very difficult topic to discuss. It's not something which is easy to speak about, but we have to. Because my fear is, in the recent, I've walked into so many homes and the fabric of society is being ripped apart. And if we don't speak about it, Allah forbid, we are headed for destruction. Recent statistics have proven, the Mail and Guardian has carried out a study. Now when we say the Mail and Guardian, you know sometimes, if I had to tell you that so and so Islamic Institute has carried out a study, or certain Buzruk has mentioned this, then we sometimes feel that this is an isolated view. And it's only of concern because those on the top see it as a problem. So that is why it becomes important sometimes to quote sources that we are not accustomed to make us understand better that this is not something which is isolated. So the Mail and Guardian has carried out a study and they have found 1 in every 10 9-year-olds are exposed to pornography. 1 in every 10 9-year-olds are exposed to pornography, and as the age bracket goes higher, the ratio and the percentage also grows. Hence, I say, unapologetically, if I am a father and I've given my son and my daughter a device, and it is going by unchecked, Allah forbid, tomorrow if there is a problem, there is no one to blame but myself. I'm going to say it again. If I am a father who has given my son or my daughter a device of their own, whether it be a phone, whether it be a tablet, whether it be an iPad, whether it be a laptop, whatever it may be, and it is going by unchecked, and tomorrow, Allah forbid, there is a problem, there will be no one to blame but ourselves. Let's move on with the discussion. There's two aspects I want to cover. Number one, the harms of it. And number two, the solutions. What are the harms of it? Now, if we do a simple search on the net, you will find that majority of people who are involved in the industry were human trafficked and kidnapped. They are there against their will. In July or August, The South African government had sent out an alert that please be wary of lucrative foreign online job opportunities, because more than often it's a human trafficking, kidnapping syndicate which is operating and running. So a lot of the people, I'm not saying all of them, but a good percentage of those who are actively involved in the industry were human trafficked, kidnapped and placed there against their will. The average lifespan of somebody who's involved in the industry is 35 years. They either die of drug overdose or suicide. Now I ask you a question, my brother. Let me mention to you a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sahabi, Ja'a Fatan, a young sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, i'dhan li bi zina. Grant me permission to perpetrate the filthy act of zina. Sahaba are there, they find this question strange. That, I mean, such a young boy, and he's asking such a, what we would say, shameless, behaya question to the Rasul of Allah. Fazajaruhu. They try to shut him up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, bring him closer. He came closer, and probably not this sequence, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, would you like somebody commit this filthy act with your mother? He said, no. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's somebody else's mother. He said, what about your daughter? He said, no. He said, that's somebody else's daughter. He said, what about your sister? He said, no. He said, then that's somebody else's sister. He said, what about your maternal aunt? He said, no. He said, that's somebody else's maternal aunt. What about your paternal aunt? He said, no. He said, but that's somebody else's paternal aunt. So the Nabi of Allah distracts him and takes the thought out of his mind by reminding him of his own family members. I ask you, my brother, that person who is acting out that scene against their will, if that was my mother, what would I have done? If that was my sister, what would I have done? If that was my daughter, what would I have done? As a ummati of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do I derive pleasure from somebody else's harm? How do I derive somebody else's pain? Is this what Islam teaches us? That is the first harm. Number two, if we understand how the net works, then there's a thing called algorithm. Now, I don't have time to go into in-depth explanation of the algorithm. But in a nutshell, it's an industry which is based on supply and demand. Every time we download, every time we surf, every time we Google, every time we stream, we add to the algorithm. The algorithm picks it up, it shows a demand, and equally there's a supply. So every time we download, every time we stream, every time we view, every time we search, we add to the algorithm and we are active contributors to the industry. What did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man kathura sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever increases in the number of a certain people on the day of Qiyamah, Allah forbid, he will be raised up amongst them. Every time we search, we stream, we download, we view, we are adding to the algorithm, we are increasing in the number of searches, we are active contributors to the industry. If I made an announcement now, and I said after the Jumu'ah Salah, we are going to do a collection for the pornography industry. Which one of us here, in our sane minds, will contribute a quarter of a cent? We don't have a quarter cent. I'm using it hypothetically. Which one of us seated here will contribute a quarter of a cent to the pornography industry? Not one of us. Every time we Google, download, stream, search, active online, we are active contributors to the industry. Number two. Number three. Three things remove barakah from a person's life and a person's home. Yahya ibn Kathir, rahimahumullah, a great tabi'i, has mentioned this. He said there are three things which removes barakah, blessing from a home, removes barakah and blessing from a person's life. Today you ask anybody, how's things? Tough. Now, Maulana, give me one wazifa. Where I come from, I'm also the imam of my masjid. Something is not right. 100% something is not right. In the days long gone, ma and papa, baji or nani, whatever we refer to them as, baji, papa, the old man, went and worked, earned a humble salary. He looked after 10 of his children. Today, all 10 children working. Their spouses are working. Their children are working. They can't look after two old parents. We can't be blinded from the fact that we have a serious problem. There is no barakah in our homes. There is no barakah in our lives. The months outlive our salaries. Yahya ibn Kathir rahimahumullah says, there are three things which remove the barakah from the person's home and from his life. Number one, he says, lies and deception. Now if we analyze, anybody who's involved in the pornography industry, he's speaking lies. If it's a husband, life about why he's sitting with his gadget or his laptop or his iPad, he's deceiving her, I got work, online meeting, this meeting, that he's talking nonsense. He's lying. He needs an avenue to do what he's doing. If it's a wife who's involved, and mind you, it's not something which is restricted to the male gender. I have personally walked into homes where husbands have complained about their wives who are viewing content which is not to be viewed. So there's lies and deception. For that child to do what he has to do, he has to lie to his parents, or she has to lie to her parents. Barakah out of our life. Barakah out of our home. Number two, he says zina. Zina takes away the barakah from the home. Zina takes away the barakah from a person's life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-aynanu tazniyan wa zinahuma an-nazar. The eyes also commit zina. And the zina of the eye is looking at what is one should not be looking at. Previously, we used to say that looking at the opposite gender is zina. But today, pornography to an extent has brought about inclination to the same gender. We cannot even say looking at the opposite gender. Today, we just speak neutral. We say looking at material which is not appropriate. Because how many a man, due to pornography, have become desensitized to the opposite gender, that now they are looking at fulfilling their desires with their own gender. So he says, number two, zina. Zina of the eyes. And at this juncture, I must include, whenever we speak about controlling the gaze, we often focus our attention to males, but it applies equally to females. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing male to lower his gaze. And then Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغُضُّنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And tell the woman to lower their gaze. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting with the Azwaj Mutahharat, his noble wives, our mothers, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And a blind sahabi comes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks them, requests them politely. He says, excuse yourself. They say, oh Nabi of Allah, but he is blind. The Nabi of Allah says, are you blind? Are you blind? Like how it is incorrect for him to look at you, it is equally incorrect for you to look at him. Number two, zina. Number three, israf, wasting. We are wasting our time. We are wasting our resources. We are wasting. And I'm aware of the seniority, so I'm going to be as discreet as possible. Allah Ta'ala has placed within every man the fluid of reproduction. That fluid is being wasted. Two narrations. On the one, Allah's curse is on that person who makes nikah to his hands. In another narration, Allah is going to humiliate him on the day of Qiyamah. جَاءَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. He will come on the day of Qiyamah. وَيَدَهُ حُبْلًا. His hands will be pregnant. Three things remove barakah from a person's life, removes barakah from our homes, and all three are found in those who have the habit of viewing pornography. The fourth harm, Abdul Malik bin Umair, rahimahumullah, who was a tabi'i, he says, you have to understand the opposite to understand what I'm trying to say. He says, أَبْقَى النَّاسِ عُقُولًا قُرَّاءَ الْقُرْآنِ. Those people who Allah preserves them are those who recite Qur'an frequently. So I don't know if the Mawlana came to this particular masjid, but in Newcastle he came, Mawlana Ramadan Mewati, 103 years old. When I heard he was coming, 40 Mawlana said, when I heard he was coming, 103, I expected to see a wheelchair. He got off the car walking. Came in the home, and there was a table set. And he said, I don't eat at the table, I eat at the floor. So he sat on the floor and he ate. After he ate, he said to me, I need to use the bathroom. I said to him, Maulana, my car is outside. Let me bring it in the yard. He said, no, it's a good opportunity for me to exercise after my meal. 103. He walked to the vehicle. When I took him to the masjid, and I showed him the bathroom, I took him to what we know as the high pen, the western pen. He said, I don't use this one. I want the eastern one. At 103 years. When we protect our body and we look after our body, then Allah preserves it. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sima Rahmatullah Ali had his last daughter at the age of 80. Hazrat Mufti Yaqub Saab Minti Rahmatullah Ali, who I heard this from personally, told me, I asked Maulana Qasim Sima Rahmatullah Ali, I said, Maulana, 80 years and a daughter, what's the secret? He said, and Maulana told me in Urdu, and I'll translate it. He said, Maine apni jawani ko sambhal liya. He said, I looked after myself in my young days. Allah preserved me in my old days. The other harm which has come about is there are men who when they need to be men, they are not there. They are finished, useless, redundant. Women are crying. Why? His body is wasted. He has abused this ni'mah which Allah has given him. There are many other harms. I'm going to leave it at that four. Because we need to move on to the solutions. Time is quick running out. The solution, number one, as I had mentioned in my introduction, those of us who are clean, stay clean. Those of us who are involved, get help. Get help. There's two types of help which is required. Deep spiritual problem, and it is a deep psychological problem. We need spiritual help, and with that we need psychological help. There's no self-help. I've met many people with many addictions. I used to run a support group for drug addicts as well. By the way, pornography stimulates that part of the brain which crack cocaine stimulates. Documented medical fact. There's no self-help. Because shaitan makes two promises. first time and last time. To get you hooked, he'll tell you first time. And to get you to carry on every time will be the last time. And when you do realize, it may be too late. Number two, make tawbah every day. Tawbah breaks the back of the sin. I had a friend who's still alive. He was a heavy, heavy, heavy alcoholic. And one day I asked him, or my father asked him, Rahmatullah alayhi, my father passed away. He said, how did you change your life? He said, every day I used to come home drunk. I'm not encouraging drinking. I'm giving you an example. He said, the unique thing was, in my state of intoxication, I would recall my four kulls. Kafirun, Ikhlas, Falaq, Innas. He said, and every night, I would never be able to sleep until I read my four kulls. He said, I looked up to the ceiling and I said, Allah, I did wrong. Inshallah, tomorrow I won't do it. He says, and then only I would sleep. He said, and I did this every night until the day came when Allah heard me and Allah accepted my tawbah, and I woke up the next morning and I never did it again. So with getting help, we should never become despondent and never feel, I'm doing it, now let me just carry on. Every time we do it, every time we ask Allah for forgiveness. Number three, we need to come back to the masjid. We need to come back to salah. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Allah's promise in the Quran, salah will take us away from this filth. As long as I'm not reading my five daily salah in the masjid, I've lowered my guard. I've created an opening for the devil to infiltrate. Our protection is in the masjid. Allah Ta'ala grant us all the true understanding. Allah Ta'ala free our homes from this filth. Allah Ta'ala protect our future generations. And Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.